Well, good morning. Greetings to each of you this morning. What a beautiful morning to wake up to, the bright sunshine, opportunity to gather together again as a church. My wife and I were just sharing a little bit. We feel so much at home here with yous. You're a lot like us at Word of Life. I don't know if this is a Mennonite thing, but we're creatures of habit. And I've been kind of observing a little bit. You all sit at the same spot every time. At least, maybe most of yous anyway. I told my wife, let's sit on the other side this morning. And then we got to talking about that. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's interesting to observe that. Well, this week we are talking about passion, about passionately serving the Lord. And our scripture verse that we have, Romans 12, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we want to do. That's where we want to be. My Musser version, don't be lacking in your zeal, but be passionate in your spirit, serving the Lord. And again, that's my heartbeat for each one of us this morning. Again, this morning, I want to consider a subject, an area. Again, I'm calling it a passion zapper, an area that I believe that will hinder our passion for serving the Lord. And to introduce that topic, I want to do this. You know, sometimes you take maybe some medication, you for whatever, and there's always the disclaimers that these are the side effects. If you take this pill, well, you could end up with this, this, and this, and it almost makes you feel like, I don't even want to take that. I mean, is it any good? Well, I have an activity that I was wondering if you would be interested in participating in, but before I tell you what the activity is, I want to give you the side effects. And then I would be looking for volunteers. We could get together this afternoon and do this, or maybe actually tonight would be a better time after our service tonight. It tends to have more effects then. But anyway, here's the side effects that it has the possibility to give you. It is a very good chance that this activity would make you sick. It has been known to cause people to throw up. It has given people heart problems. It also has caused people to lose their hair. Now, you might think that I've got a bad case of it. Maybe I do. It has sent people to hospital. It guaranteed it will cause you distress. It will cause you discomfort. Has the potential to shorten your life. It is very, very common for people to lose sleep because of this activity. This activity has absolutely no benefits in participating in it. Its effects are all negative. Now, who wants to join me in this activity? Nobody was volunteering. I wonder why. All right. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Anybody want to venture a guess? What would cause those kinds of results? Worry. That's exactly right. This morning, I want to think on the subject of worry. I'm suspicious that there could be some of you that participate in this activity. Probably some of us more than others. Some of us more committed to it than others. Some of us are quite good at it, possibly. It was some time ago, I was looking through some of Harold Martin's writings, and I came across a pamphlet on the subject of worry. And it struck a chord with me, I guess. It was at a time of my life when our one daughter, oldest daughter, and her family had moved to Thailand. And so they're on the other side of the world. Our second daughter had just moved to Bradford and started life there in Bradford. And, you know, as a father, I want to be there to support my children and help my children. And well, now my one daughter is on one side of the world, and the other one is 4.5 hours away from us. And you know, I began to worry. And Harold Martin's writings just kind of spoke to me. And this morning I want to think about worry. I want to think about its cause, its curse, and its cure. And that sounds a little familiar. Those are some of the points that we had last night. But I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. And before we look at that scripture, I just want to do a little bit of defining again here as we think about worry. Worry is the idea to give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. It's a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. In our text that we want to look at here this morning, it tells us there, it says, take no thought. That idea of taking thought, it means don't be anxious about, or in other words, don't worry. Now, as I thought about worrying, I thought about another word that we use, and that's the idea of concern. And so what's the difference between worry and a concern? I think we would agree that concern, we have concerns over things, and that's a good thing. If we weren't concerned, that would not be good. But is there a line somewhere that we cross over from being concerned to worrying? And so I found an article that kind of helped me a little bit, and it gave some characteristics of concern, and then it compared it to the characteristic of worry. And just to give you several of the illustrations, it says that concern is focused on others. Worry tends to be focused on self. It's self-centered. Concern motivates us to serve. Worry puts up barriers and keeps us from serving. Concern promotes constructive action. Worry will often paralyze us. Concern is welcomed by others, at least most of the time. Worry generally is not welcomed by others. Concern is driven by love. Worry is driven by fear. Concern has a goal to help. Worry doesn't have any goals. Concern strengthens relationships. Worry tends to weaken relationships. Concern is tempered with faith. Worry overwhelms faith with doubt. I would have to say that it's probably our human nature. You know, that we are concerned about bad situations in our world, in our personal lives. But I'm afraid if we are not careful, we cross that line to worry. We cross the line from concern to being concerned into a place of worry. Let's read our text. Luke chapter 12, we're going to jump in at verse 22 and read to verse 34. This is teachings of Jesus. It says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on.
For life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll leave off reading there. So this morning I'd like to begin by thinking about the causes, or what causes us to worry. Billy Graham says this. He says, anxiety is a natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and His will for us. Anxiety is a natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and His will for us. God never intended for His children to be defeated and discouraged with anxious worry. But yet, how many times do we, as God's children, God's people, how many times are we subject to this disease of worry? As we consider worry, I believe that we can put most of the causes of worry into one of three categories. And I'd like to think about those categories here. The first category would be the cares of this life, or the cares of this world. In our text, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought. Don't worry about your life. In Luke chapter 10, we have the account of Martha that came to Jesus, and she was troubled. Mary wasn't helping her. And Jesus responds, he says to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. There was things in life she was worried about. She was troubled by them. The things of this life, the cares of this life. What cares of this life do you find yourself worrying about? Do we worry about the daily necessities of life? Like our text talked about, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Maybe most of us don't have those worries, I don't know, but we could look at other things in life, our work, our jobs, our businesses, finances. You know, all of these things are areas that they're the cares of this life that if we're not careful, we move from that concern to the place of worry. Maybe it's our health, you know, getting older and the body starts wearing out, and well, what if this happens and what about that? And we can go on and on. Relationships. Worry about being accepted, maybe about losing a spouse, or we could go on and on with that. Maybe we could worry about being safe and secure. You know, all of these things are present day real things in our lives that if we're not careful, we can We can worry. We're thinking about causes, things that cause us to worry, the cares of this life, the cares of this world. And in the second area, the second category, we could put our worries and cares, and that would be the conditions around the world. The political realm of things, you know, I'm not one that listens to a lot of radio, but you know, if you were to listen to some of these talk radio stations and you hear the political parties, and they can get you all stirred up and worried and what's all going on in our country, and certainly they are things that are real, and but do we worry about them? If we're not careful, we can get caught up in all of that. And you could go on and you could, you know, look at conditions around the world and countries that are at odds against each other and wars and rumors of wars, and the list just goes on and on. The conditions of the world. So we worry about the cares of this life. We could worry about the conditions of this world. There's another cause of worry, and I believe that is that of an ignorance about the nature of God. When we don't have God in His proper place and recognize who God is, when we are ignorant about His nature, we will worry. When our faith in God is little, it talks about that in verse 28 of our text that we just read. He says in the end of verse 28, he says, "O ye of little faith." Oh, Lord willing, we're going to talk some more about faith tonight. But there's a number of times in Scripture, and it's most times Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He uses that phrase, "O ye of little faith." In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And He arose and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So they were out in a storm. And Jesus, I think in that account, He was sleeping, and the disciples were worried. They were fearful for their life. And Jesus says, "O ye of little faith, where is your faith?" They were doubting God. They were, could we say, ignorant of the nature of God. You could go to Peter when Jesus had come walking on the water, and Peter says, "You know, bid me to come. I want to walk on water too." And so he does, and he gets out of the boat. You know the story. And he looks at the waves and the wind, and he begins to sink. And Jesus, it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter began to doubt. I believe there's a relation to doubt and worry. Another time, Jesus said the same thing. Matthew 16:8 says, "Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread?" See, the disciples had forgot to take lunch along. And then they were worried. What are we going to do? And Jesus says, "Your faith is small. Your faith is little." Ignorance about the nature of God. Small faith. Verse 29 of our text says, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." Don't be of a doubtful mind, doubting God, doubting God's abilities. Darkness and despair will grip the soul if one fails to grasp by faith the reality of a loving, caring Heavenly Father. when we fail to grasp who God is, when we are ignorant about the nature of God, it's a cause. It's a cause of worry. So we looked here this morning, we looked at worry. We looked at its cause. Let's look at the curse. The curse of worry. So at its very best, worry will distract us from our relationship with God and the truth of God's Word. Worry will distract us. It'll take us away. It'll zap our passion. That's at its best. At its worst, worry is a crippling disease that overtakes our minds and plunges our thoughts into a deep, dark pit. Again, at all levels, worry will zap our passion of serving God. Worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets you anywhere. So why do we struggle with it? Why do we struggle with worry? What good does it do? In verses 25 and 26 here of our text, Jesus is talking about, he expresses the uselessness of it. He says, you know, if you think about it, how hard must you think to be able to add one cubit to your height? You know, you worry. This morning, if you're a short guy and you would just like to be a little bit taller. I mean, if you worried hard enough about it, could you add 1 inch to your height? No. Jesus says it's useless. Worry doesn't get you anywhere. Worry, I believe, is the opposite of faith. And it robs us of peace. Worry is harmful. It's harmful. It's harmful, first of all, to the one who is doing the worrying. And we talked about those side effects. We began by talking about that. What worry can do to a body physically. What it can do to us. Mentally, worry. We become unfit to think and act carefully. If unnecessary anxiety controls our mind. Proverbs 12:25, it says that heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Heaviness in the heart. Anxiety and care and fear would be heaviness of a heart. And he says it makes a man stoop. It makes a man fall down. It takes us down when we find ourselves in a place of worrying. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sorrow of the heart. Again, I think we can throw worry into that pot. A heart that is worrying, it will break the spirit. The heart is broken. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. The days of the afflicted are evil. Worry is an affliction. It says the days are evil. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? A wounded spirit. One who worries has a wounded spirit. Worry harms us. Worry harms our mental abilities. It also is harmful to the physical body. It can harm our physical health. As I studied this topic, I found an article that talked about, related all types of physical ailments and how that came back. They were caused by worry and anxiety. And I'm not going to go into the list. I don't have that list with me. But worry is physically harmful. Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A merry heart doth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit, I believe a spirit that is worries is a broken spirit. And it dries the bones. It is not good for one physically. So worry affects us mentally. It affects us physically. It also affects us spiritually. Worry will harm you spiritually. Worry clouds our spiritual vision. It weakens our desire for that relationship with the Lord. It weakens our desire to be in prayer and meditation. Jesus tells us in the parable of the seeds in Luke, in verse 14, "That which fell among the thorns," so the seeds that had fallen among the thorns, he said, "are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked, choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection." My focus is there is the cares. We talked about how the cares of this life are a cause for worry. And so physically, when we find ourselves worrying, it's like the seed falling into thorns and it chokes it out. The cares of this world, it chokes it out. Luke 21:34 says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares." Beware, lest any time your hearts are overcharged with the cares of this world and it takes you down, spiritually destroying you. So worry, we're talking about the curse of worry. Worry is harmful. It's harmful to the worrier, but it is also harmful to others. When you worry, it is harmful to others as well. A parent who is a worrier, it will also affect the children. It will affect how the children view life. You know what it's like being around a person who is a pessimist and always talking down, and someone who is worries and is complaining and fretting, and to listen to the woes and the doom and the gloom. You don't like to be around a person like that. And so it affects others. Our worrying affects others. If an unsaved neighbor or a friend watches you worry and mope and lose heart and fall to pieces over a difficult situation, a circumstance, they have every right to question your faith. They have every right to question, well, who is that? Who is your God? It affects those around us. Worry not only affects the worrier, but it affects those around him. Worry is also harmful to the reputation of God. God is a father who loves and cares for his children. He knows our every need. But when we worry, we're implying that God is unconcerned and unable and unable to handle our situation. It's saying that my God is not big enough. And so worry Worry never makes things better. Worry has no positive benefits. Matter of fact, it usually makes them worse, makes things worse. So we have the cause, we have the curse. But praise the Lord, there's a cure. There's a cure. The opposite of worry, I believe, is peace. We worry on this hand, but over here is a peace. A peace. John 16:33, Jesus tells us that God has so much more for us than to walk around life full of fear and worry and anxiety. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace." Peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I write these things so that you can experience peace." Peace is the opposite of worrying. And so this morning, maybe we could ask the question, how do we find that peace? I suggest that the cure to worry is simply to obtain that peace. How do we find it? Take 2 aspirins, a good night's sleep, and you'll wake up the next morning and you'll be good as new, and you'll have it? Well, that would be nice. But I believe the Bible gives us instructions how and where to find peace. Peace is found only in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Know Him, K-N-O. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, and then no peace. John 16:33 again, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Jesus says, in me you will have peace. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, those of you who are worried, you're carrying the burdens." He says, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus wants to take that worry. He wants to give us that peace. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's through Christ that we can experience peace. It's very simple. Without Jesus Christ in our lives, there is no peace. So the first step to finding peace, we need to have Jesus in our lives. Jesus is the cure. Peace also comes through trust, through trusting God. So we have Jesus in our lives, then we trust God. To trust means to firmly believe in the honesty and truthfulness of another. Is it possible to fully trust in God and at the same time worry? I don't think it is. A fully trusting in God means there's no room for worry. We need to trust God's promises. Hebrews 13:5-6, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with the such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear," or "I will not worry what man shall do unto me." God is my helper. We trust God's promise that He is there for us at all times. He is there to walk with us. He is there. He wants to carry our burdens. Jeremiah 17:7-8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." We're talking about trusting God, replacing worry with a trust in God. "Blessed is that man who trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. Won't even know that there's a drought going on. Won't know that there's anything to worry about. But her leaf shall be green. She shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding her fruit. Friends, the cure to worry is trusting God. Peace comes through trusting God. Peace also comes through prayer, spending time in prayer. In Philippians, there's a few verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful, or don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The call is not to worry, not to be anxious, but in every circumstance, give it to God. Cry out to God. That sounds so simple, but how often is it so hard to do? There's a doctor, Walter Wilson, tried to drive home this truth about coming to God in prayer. And he put this motto to drive home the point. He put this motto above his desk. And it says, why pray when you can worry? Why pray when you can worry? You know, it's so easy for us to look and see that error, of course, and that was the point. We see the error, but how often are we there? Verse 7 there, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. The result, when we come to God, when we lay it at the feet of Jesus in prayer, the result is peace. The result is peace. Maybe we should include verse 8 here in Philippians 4. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if we would replace worry with these things that are just and true and pure and lovely and good and so on. Think on those things. So the cure to worry, it's found in Jesus. It's found in trusting God. It's found in coming to Christ in prayer. There's another concept that I found in Scripture, is that peace comes through casting. And I go to Peter, 1 Peter for that. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you'll wonder, what do I mean by peace comes through casting? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares, your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We humble ourselves and then we cast. We throw upon, we cast our cares upon Him. God, here's my worries. I am giving it to You. I am throwing it on Your lap. They are Yours. Your worries, Your anxieties, the concerns, the unknowns. There's a story told of an old farmer who was walking along the country road, and he was carrying his sack of potatoes across his back. And there was a man come riding along in his carriage and wagon. And he stopped and he invited that farmer up onto his wagon. And so the farmer took him up on it. He climbed up on the wagon and he sat down there in the seat. But he kept that sack of potatoes on his back. And the driver of the wagon, he noticed this awkward sight of, you know, this man sitting in the seat with the potatoes across his back and so uncomfortable. And he said, "You may put those potatoes in the wagon behind you. That's fine. Just lay them down. It's okay." And the farmer said, "Oh, no, sir. No, it's very kind of you to offer me a ride, but I can't make those horses carry the weight of those potatoes as well. It's too much." You know, we may say, well, how foolish of that farmer. The horses, they were doing it anyway. But you know, how often are we exactly like that? You know, Jesus wants to take that burden, that worry, whatever it is. You know, we come to Jesus and we give our hearts, our lives to the Lord, but yet we hang on to that sack of potatoes. We don't let go. We don't let go of those worries, those cares, those concerns. We don't let Him have them. Jesus says, Jesus invites us to give Him our burdens, to put those burdens, let them down, let them in the wagon. Jesus says, "Give them to me. I care." The cure to worry is casting them, throwing them, giving them to Jesus. So the cure to worry is to find that peace. And that peace comes in Jesus Christ. That peace comes in trusting God. That peace comes when we come to Christ in prayer. We share with Him. We cast our burdens on Him. This morning, I truly believe that God wants us to live above this curse of worry. Philippians, it says there that we're to be careful for nothing. In Luke, our text, it says that we're to take no thought. We are not to become anxious and consumed with the cares of this life. This morning, I don't know where you find yourself. I don't know if this is something that you identify with or not. I don't know if you have crossed that line from concern to a place of worry. This morning, if you do find yourself there, I encourage you. We're not going to give an invitation this morning, but I encourage you to find someone to share with and talk with. Anyone who you feel comfortable to share with. I encourage you to do that, to pray together and give it to God. Jesus wants to carry our cares. He wants to take them. If we want to experience a passion for serving God, I believe we need to overcome this curse of worry. We cannot experience that passion, that zeal, while we're carrying that burden. So give it to God. Maybe no one struggles with that, but I know that, again, it's real in my life, and I have to be careful, or I can get to a place where I am just drugged down in the concerns and the cares of this life. And so, again, I encourage you, if you find yourself there, find someone to talk with and share with. One of your ministry, if it's a lady, maybe one of their wives is fine. My wife and I, talk to someone. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You this morning, Father, thinking on this subject of worry. And God, I recognize this morning that there are so many things in this life, in this world, that cause us concern. And Father, I also recognize that there are times when we cross that boundary to a place of worry. And God, that is not Your heartbeat for any one of us. Father, You desire us to excel in our Christian life, to live above that. Father, You are there for us, and You want to carry those burdens for us. Father, you don't want us to be drugged down and smothered with worry and anxiety. And so, God, this morning, if there's anyone here that is struggling, I pray that they would be able to find that peace that only comes through you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could share together. And God, again, I pray, my heart's desire is that we can go forward from here with just a passion to serve you and to be able to be freed from these things that drag us down, these passion zappers. God, that we could live in victory. Father, I pray a blessing upon the further service here this morning, the Sunday school hour. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.